start. This week's Torah Away has been sponsored by Family Stimler, Lichvot Simchas and Nishuim, Josh Morris and Michelle Stimler. Kof Dalet Adar Sheni, Wednesday the 30th of March, Rabbi Joseph Perlman, Parsha Sachodesh.
Thank you so much. I observed that we're a minute late, so I assume we can finish a minute late as well. It is actually the old site of my grandmother, Oleh HaSholim, Pastor El Kof Dalet Adar, who has tried to make this Lilu Nishmosa. Now, in front of you you'll find a little sheet. I've written out many Maromakomas. We're not going to be able to go through them all, but you can look them up later. It'll give you an indication of where to go. But you'll see at the top right of the side I've put 26 in a circle, and that is just simply to identify. This is actually the 26th time on which I'm standing here at the day of the Torah Away. And therefore I thought that just as a little, very quick hakdama, the number 26, somebody said, do I need to bring a calculator here? Well, you get your calculators out, you'll find if you go through the Teuchacha in Kisavo, there are 26 Shemus in Teuchacha, and one of the Hasidic Meforshim suggests that if you multiply the 26 times the Shem is there in the Teuchacha in Kisavo by the 26 of the Gematria of the Shem Havaya, you will get 676, which is fits in with the Pasuk, which says, Rabbos Roas Tzadik Mikulam Yatzilenu Hashem. Take the word Ro'os, which is 676. If the person's got Rabbos Ro'os, then Yatzilenu Hashem, you should look to Hashem and that will protect him. How do you look to Hashem to protect you? Well, of course, you say Shemoneh Esrei properly. And in the Balat Turim's Girsa of the Shemoneh Esrei, he has 26 Shemos. Count them up. You'll find we've got one more. In fact, we've got two more, but that's because one more is because you say Hashem Sosai, not Hashem Sosai, Hashem, Hato Gibraliram Hashem, but that's not written Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's written Aleph Dalet, so don't count that one. And the second one you've got to lose, if you look very carefully through the Girsa of the Torah, you'll find in Hoshiva Shevotei Nekvori Shono, he does not say Hashem. We do say Hashem there, he doesn't. So he gets to the 26 times 26. Anyhow, it's a bit off the point, but just one other thing I heard very recently, which is worth mentioning, which is the 26th Sedra of Chumash? Well, you should know that, because this week we're in the centre of Chumash. Kisazri is the 27th Sedra, which is mamish in the centre of Chumash. What's the 26th Sedra? Must be Shmini. How many psukim in Shmini? It's the only Sedra of the whole of Chumash, which has how many psukim? How much?
91.
Which is Shema Vaya, which is 26, and the Shema Adna 65. It's well known that number 91 is a very holy number. The 26 and the 65, that's the 26 of the Shema Shem and the 65 of the Adna goes together to make 91. Well, you might say that just happens to be like that. Well, take the 26th Masechta of Shas. Come on. Which is the 26th Masechta of Shas? You don't know? Well, you should know this. It's Nedarim. Which Masechta in Shas has 91 daf and no other Masechta has that number? Nedarim. Now why did that happen? The 26th Sedra of Chumash has 91 psukim and the 26th Masechta of Shas has 91 daf. Now don't tell me that the daf only came in at the time of printing about 500 years ago. I won't accept that, because we know that if Hashem creates a situation whereby we all have that daf, then there's got to be significance in it. Right, now that's nothing to do with this, what we're supposed to be doing. It's just to give you a flavour of the enjoyment that I have of saying the 26th time. Now, we're supposed to be learning about the Dalet Parshas. Now, first of all, let's very quickly look at what the Dalet Parshas are. We've got Shkolim, we've got Parshas Zohar, Parshas Porah, and Parshas Achodesh. And they all have their own individual, they've all got their own reasons. Very briefly, Shkolim is, first of all, the Machatzis HaShekel, which is taken at the beginning of Adar, so everybody comes, be unity together, everybody's ba'achdus, nobody's got more guys than anybody else. Ayashu lo yarba dal lo yamit. Secondly, so it says, because l'haktim shiklem shal Yisrael l'shikle homon, we have to use our money for the right purpose. Not only do we have to use our bodies and for chesed, etc., but the money should be correctly used for the right things for Kedusha. That's the start of the Arba Parshas. And then we have Parshas Zocher, which is of course to protect us against Amalek, which represents selfishness and Yefirah, everything we don't stand for. Mordechai and Esther overcame Haman and Achashverosh and all that went with it. That's the second of the Arba Parshas. The third of the Arba Parshas is Parshas Poroh. The ostensible reason of Parshas Poroh is to get ourselves pure and clean, ready for Korban Pesach. But that can't be the only reason, because if that were the only reason, it's in the wrong place. Parshas Poroh should be in Nisan, because you don't have to start doing Tara until 7 days before Pesach, or have a little bit extra. You could have done it at the beginning of Nisan. It should have been after Parshas HaChodesh. So why did they make Parshas Poroh before Parshas HaChodesh? The answer must be there's another depth in Parshas Poroh, and that is the depth of spirituality. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I could understand the whole Torah, but there's one thing I can't understand. Shlomo HaMelech also says it as well in Koheles, Amarti Yachkom Ovil Rechoikom Mimeni. I thought I knew everything. I thought I was the cleverest man, but I cannot get the whole business of the Poroh Adom. It's too much for me. Because that is something purely spiritual. And therefore, after we've done proper use of our money, and after we've got our heads screwed on properly in order to serve Hashem and not be selfish and do get a Moloch out of our system, the next thing is to get spirituality into our system, to realize we're doing everything L'Shem Shemayim. That's Poroh. Then we can, once we've done that, we can come to Parshas HaChodesh, we can start afresh. Chodesh means Hischadshus, it means Chodesh, we can have a new year properly. Now, you might say, well, Rosh Hashanah is the new year, and Tishri. Yes, it is for individuality, but Pesach and Nisan is the new year for the Tzibur. It's when we became a nation, when we became one team. Then, that is what Nisan represents, it's the Hischadshus HaUmah. The nation as a whole renews itself at Pesach time, and it's a time for the Gura. The Gula Asira should come in Nisan, unless we merit it beforehand. We hope it will come quicker, but if it doesn't, it will come in its normal time, which will be in Nisan, and we've got to get ready for that. That's how the four parshas pan out. Now, I'd like to mention a brief drush for my great-grandfather, the Kamnitzer Maggid, the Zochrono Rav Rocha, who explains that the four parshas are carefully chosen chazal, al-pi drush, to fit in with the four geulas of history. He says you start off with the first geula in history is the geulas Mitzrayim. When they came out of Mitzrayim, they came out loaded with money. They had all the money that they could get. They said the bizah sayam was more than the bizah of the Mitzrayim itself. Turiz Azov and Nikos HaKesef, they were full of gold and silver and diamonds, and they were as rich as you could imagine. That's Shekolim. The second Geula was the Geula at the time after the Churban Bayis Sheni, and they went into Golus, and they wanted to start the Bayis Sheni, but they got stopped, if you remember, by Achashverosh. Then what happened was they had the Geula from Haman, and that is Zohar. That's the second major Geula in history. After that, they got the Bayis Sheni, but there was trouble, and then they were almost knocked flat by the Greeks at the top of Hanukkah. That was the next major catastrophe, major disaster area, when Hanukkah came along. Then it wasn't a question of destroying the Jews, it was destroying the religion of the Jews. The Greeks were quite happy to have us as a satellite nation, as long as we would accept their behavior and their way of life and embrace polytheism and all their gods, etc. They couldn't stand the fact that the Yidden were sticking out like a sore thumb against them, and they wanted to eradicate that. That's what Parshas Poroh is all about. We've just said that Parshas Poroh is the chok. We serve Hashem. We don't understand why we're doing it. We don't understand why we're doing it. We don't understand the reason for the mitzvahs. We still do it. That was Parshas Poroh. That's the third geula. And the final geula will be the geula from the present Golos, which we're in, of Golos Romi, which will end up in the time of the Hischadshus, of the Mashiach. That's Parshas HaChodesh. So he says the four geulas, therefore, are representing a representation of the whole of history encapsulated in these Arba Parshas. That's what he said, Al-Pidrush. Alright, in between the four parshas and leading up to Pesach, you will always find two hafsokas. There will be normally one hafsoka in the middle of Adar. On one occasion, you can find two hafsokas in Adar. And then there won't be hafsoka in Nisan. If there is one hafsoka in Adar, there will be another hafsoka when you come to Nisan before Shabbos HaGadol. You'll always have six Shabbosos, of which four will be Parashios and two will be Hafsokos. If you want to know exactly how to do it, the Gemara Megillah gives you some beautiful Rimozim. I've written them down here. He says like this: because we have a principle Lo Badu Pesach, and then we have a principle that Rosh Chodesh Adar can be Zabadu, that means it can fall on Shabbos, Monday, Wednesday or Friday, that's the only days Rosh Chodesh Adar can fall, then you work from there, the Siman is Zatu, Bu, Dad, and Ubayo. Now you might know what on earth that's talking about. Well, it's very simple. The first letter is the day on which Rosh Chodesh Adar comes, and the second letter is the day on which you will have a Hafsoka in Chodesh Adar. It's a Rashi in Megillah. So Zatu, that's the set, if you have a Rosh Chodesh on Shabbos, then you'll find that the 15th will be a Shabbos, and that will not be one of the Arba Parshas. It'll be a Hafsoka. You can work it out very quickly, because Parshas Chodesh is at the end of the month. Parshas Porah has got to be the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, and that's interesting. There's never a Hafsoka between Parshas Porah and Parshas Chodesh. The definition of Parshas Porah is the Shabbos before Parshas Chodesh, and the reason is that, as we said before, you've got to put the Torah together with the Hafsoka. It's got to go right together. The spirituality has got to be incorporated immediately in the Kiddush which comes after it. So you can't have a Hafsoka there. But the Hafsoka would then be between Parshas Zachar and Parshas Porah. And if you go through the others, you'll see Bu, it might sound like Bu, but Beis Mitzvah Rosh Chodesh Adar is on a Monday, then you'll find that the Hafsoka will be the Shabbos following, which is on the 6th. Because you've had Parshas Shkolim, the previous Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Adar, and Parshas Zachar will not come until the Shabbos before Purim. You'll have a Shabbos in between on the 6th, which will be free. And then you've got Ubayu, that means if Rosh Chodesh Adar falls on a Friday, then you'll find that in that case you'll have two Hafsokas. You'll have a Hafsoka on the Beis, that's on the 2nd of the month will be a Shabbos, because the previous, you've had the Parshas Shkolim the previous Shabbos 6 days before, and then Friday is Rosh Chodesh, and then you'll have it again on you. Now this is actually interesting. You is actually 16, which is a raya that Rashi wasn't bothered by saying Yud Vov. The Rishonim didn't call it Tezayin, the Rishonim used to call it Yud Vov. So Yud Vov was the 16th, and Ubayu means if Rosh Chodesh Adar fell on a Friday, then the Hafsoka would be on a Monday, and then again on the 16th of Adar. Then you'd have two Hafsokas in... It's a lovely quiz question. When do you have two Hafsokas in Adar? And normally you only have one Hafsoka, like this year. Right, now, so the question now is, alright, we've got Hafsokas, but why? If Chazal had 6 weeks to pay, so fill it up with something. Is it so difficult to find something to fill it up with? The fine Shkolim, the fine Zohar, the fine Porter, the fine Kodesh, find a couple more things to stick in. Is it beyond Chazal's ability to find something to say on those particular Shabbos? Why did they choose four out of six to make them special Shabbos? And then we have Shabbos HaGadol, of course. And why do we need the two Hafsokas? The answer is obvious. It's got to be because they wanted to have the number four. Now, if they have the number four, we need to know why. Now, I just heard Rav Yanky was talking about the piyutim, and it is a minig in most places to say the piyut and musaf for shkolim and for hachodesh. No one says piyutim for zocher and for poro in musaf, and that's interesting because lemaisa there were piyutim made for zocher and musaf, and where I come from, we say all the yotzus and all the piyutim. Well, I don't say all the piyutim, I don't say the long ones, but we say most of the piyutim. We don't have to say everything, but if you come to the musaf on zocher and poro, there is no piyut said, but there is piyut. If you look, you'll find it. It's a fascinating reason, fascinating to find out why they omitted the piyut for those two Shabboses, but that's a separate issue for beyond my remit today. But you will find that in Parshas HaChodesh there's a beautiful piyutim which the Hasidim also say. It's always puzzled me why, because if they don't say piyut, why say these dafka these? Not sure why, but it could be something to do with the chashivas of the piyutim. Now there's one most beautiful piyut which we'll be saying this Shabbos, and that is the piyut which goes at the end of before each brocha. It says Al bo devorim b'machzeh, and each time you come to the end of the brocha, you come to that four things which were said in the vision. the four things are seven different types of four things, and I've listed them here. In the period from Musaf to Rosh Chodesh, you've got Rish, the Pasuk, which is quoted, by the way, that is the Rosh Kavos of each stanza, makes a Pasuk. The Pasuk will read, Rishon Letzion Hine Hinom Uli Roshlaim Mavaser Etein. And the one word will be at the beginning of each stanza of that. And that's a Pasuk from Yeshaya, representing the fact that Mashiach is on his way. What better period, what better Pasuk to use at the beginning of the period of Parshas HaChodesh, not the beginning of the period, it's the period of the Musaf, that this Pasuk should be inscribed within the our tefillahs. And if you look at the seven things, some of them are very easy to follow, and some of them people get mixed up with. Not only people, some I've seen mistranslations in places as well. Let's just quickly go through them. The first one says Arbo Rosh Hashanah B'Matzah. Well, that's easy, because that's the first Mishnah of Rosh Hashanah. There are four Rosh Hashanahs. You've got Rosh Hashanah itself, you've got Rosh Hashanah Lemaisras, you've got Rosh Hashanah Lilonas. Whatever the Mishnah says, it says there are four Rosh Hashanah. And that is nothing to do with Din. Those Arba Rosh Hashanah are to do with which year something belongs to. So, for example, if you need to know whether you've got to give Maisa Rishon, Maisa Sheni or Maisa Oni, you've got to know, is it third year produce or second year produce? So there's a Rosh Hashanah which tells you which year it belongs to. That's the first four. The second four is the Arba Tekufas. There are four different seasons, and you have them in English as well. You've got spring, summer, autumn, winter. These Arba Tekufas, which is very relevant for things like when you start saying Kalamotah, which is 60 days after the Tekufa. The Tekufa becomes relevant for a number of factors, for halachic matters as well. But we know what the four Tekufas are. That's not difficult. The next one is creates a lot of problems. This is usually mistranslated. What are the Arba or Perokim? What is Arba or Perokim? So I've seen it translated as four New Years. Well, that's rubbish, because we know we've already got Arba or Rosh Hashanah. It can't be four New Years. I've seen it translated Arba or Perokim as the Arba Parshas. But that's also rubbish, because we've got a different one for that. It can't be that. The answer is actually very obvious. It's Rosh Hashanah to Zayin Amud Aleph. But Arba or Perokim or Olam Nidan. There are four occasions in the year when the world is judged. The world, not the individually, the whole world. You've got Rosh Hashanah, where everybody, the whole world is judged. You've got Pesach a la Tevuah. You've got Shavuos a la Peiros. And the third one, No, that's the Rosh Hashanah. I'm talking about Nidan, Dunedin. What's the fourth one? Sukkos al ha-mayim, right. That's the four prokim. Next, Arbo Arochim. What's the Arbo Arochim? Well, that's the four parshas. That's what the earth put in there, four parshas. Then we've got Arbo Kosos. Well, that's not difficult, but in fact you probably get it wrong. It's just not referring to four cups on Pesach. You might think it is. It's partly that. The Arba Kosos are the Arba Kosos of Tarelo. Tarelo means the poisoned chalice. Four cups of danger to the goyim. That's what the Arba Kosos are. Just as we've got Arba Kosos on Pesach, which represent Kos Yeshua's Esau of Hashem Hashem Ekro, which are salvation from the four cups. Because wine has two purposes. One is to do kiddush. It's to, like in the Megillah, to save Klal Yisrael. But it's also got the function of destroying. If you drink too much, you become drunk, and you become where you get washed out with the alcohol. So the kosos can be positive or negative, and it's actually quite fascinating, because the word, why did they call it Arba Kosos in the Haggadah? Well, it could be because of the four kosos which the butler used, the four kosos which in the dreams of Yosef. Fine, that's a remez, and it's probably quite right. But there's a deeper significance in the word kos. It could have used a different word than kos. We could have said, I don't know, arbo, sefolim, arbo. There's so many different words you could have used. Why use the word kos? And I once heard, because kos is gematria 86. 86 is gematria Elohim. And this kos can give do din. It means I destroy the goyim, the arba kosos of Tarela, or it can actually make save the Yidden. That's why it's Arba Kosos. And just by the way, if you want to know the minimum shear for a kos on Pesach, it's 86 cubic centimeters, 86 cc's. 150 is the Sheikh Hasnish, it's well known, is the kos Hagun, and 157, the largest possible shear, is kos Mole. So that's the gematria to remember exactly what the figures are. But the kos is mentioned here in the piyut, referring to the Arba Koses of Tarela, which will destroy the Goyim. Then you've got the next one. In many editions, most editions, it says Arba Malchias, the four kingdoms. We've had mentioned that briefly before. Everyone knows in Daniel the four kingdoms are Bovel, followed by Poros Modai, followed by Yovon, and the final one is Rome. However, in many Sidurim, it doesn't say Arba Malchias. It says Soinecho. That's very puzzling. Why should it, this, of all the different seven stanzas of the period, why should this be the only one which doesn't say Arba? All the other six say Arba something or other, and this one says Soinecho. You have a look at some of the Sidurim, you'll see in the period. And I think the only thing I can think of is that the censor didn't like the idea of the Arba Malchus being destroyed by the Eden, and therefore he changed it from Malchus to Soinecho. That's what I can only think of, that could be the only possible explanation. But most editions are back to saying Arba Malchus, and that's the sixth one. The final one is Arba Ocharoshim, the four Charoshim. Ah, that's a difficult one. You've either got to be a Boki in Tanakh or a Boki in Shas. It's a Pasuk in Zechariah, chapter Beis, Pasuk Gimel, that there will eventually be Arba Ocharoshim. And the Gemara in Sukkah Nun Beis on the Beis tells us who the Arba Ocharoshim are. They are Elio Anovi, Meshach ben Yosef, Meshach ben David, and Kohen Tzedek. Those are the four Charoshim. Rashi says the Kohen Tzedek represents Malki Tzedek, which is the same as Shem. All these people were builders. They built up the world. Shem built the Teva with his father on earth, and he built it L'Shem Shemayim, because Shem was the only one who remained completely at Tzadik Gomor, and therefore it's called after him as the Kohen Tzedek. That's Rashi Shitta. The others are going to build the eventual Beis Hamikdash Ashlishi. That Chorosh is a lotion of craftsmanship. Chorosh v'choshev. Chorosh, therefore, these four craftsmen and builders are going to build the whole world. But we see from this period, again and again and again, this number four becomes absolutely essential. What's the special about four? Well, if you want to look into the number four, I'll give you a lot of references, very, very briefly. Everything in the Mishkan and the Mikdash was in fours. There were four Kalim in the Ohel Moed. There were four, had to have a Ribuah for the Mizbech, had to be completely square. The Choshen had to be completely square, had to be in four. You have the Korbonus, there were four Avodis in the Korbonus of the Shchita, the Kabbalah, the Olacha, and the Zikah. There's four Avodis in the Mincha. There are four types of Korban, of Korban for Behemoth. You've got the Osham, the Chatos, the Shlomim, and the Ola. There are four major types of Korbanos. Wherever you turn in the Mishkan, you'll find the four comes up again and again. Similarly, on Pesach, you know we have the Arba Kushkushios, we have the Arba Bonim, and Pesach have four mitzvahs to do. You find Pesach is full of fours. And if you look at the Haggadah Shlema and at certain other places, you will find about 28 allusions to the number four, and I've set out here references to find them, why this number four keeps popping up the whole way through Pesach. Everything is in that number. And subsequently, while I was researching this, I found in a sefer called Mishnas Rebbe Eliezer, he's got a whole mama giving you literally dozens of examples of number four. He's actually talking about why we have the Arba Minim on Sukkos. Sukkos and Pesach often reflect each other, and just as you have the number four on Pesach and you have the four minimum on Sukkos, and you'll find also number 15 will come across if we get time between the two, they're both on the 15th, and you'll find that the other number relevant to Pesach is number 15. So the four and the 15, they seem to go together. Now, what's the special about four? Right, well, the answer is four represents Shlemus in this world. The most perfect shape is a square. You want to start building a house, you're going to have to take a square brick. You can't take a round one or a cockeyed shape or a hexagonal one. It won't work. Square is the is the Dover HaSholem. It's the Shlemus. And therefore, that is actually why there were four Imohos and only three of us, because the women never worshipped the Eger. The women were much, much more faithful than the men ever were. They kept the Torah and the mitzvahs, and they never gave in on anything like the men unfortunately did. And the man is compared to three because the man can reach higher heights than the lady, because the man is like the shape of a triangle, which has got a solid base but comes to a point at the top, but everything slips off if you're not careful. So the man, in fact, but I remember seeing many years ago there was an article in the Reader's Digest about the research and the difference between men and women, or boys and girls, in success in their O-levels and their A-levels. And they were rather surprised, and they couldn't understand why, but they came to the definite conclusion that the girls were far better at O-levels than boys, far better results on a much wider basis, but boys were far better than A-levels than the girls, because those days you used to do two or three A-levels. It seems that a man can concentrate on one thing and go very far, but he can't deal with a lot of things together. Whereas the woman can't get to the heights, but she can look after it. She's multitasked, in fact. And that's why if you're ever left in the kitchen to look after the cooking, to look after the baby, to look after the telephone, and to do whatever else you're doing, everything will be in a horrible mess. But if a woman looks after it, it'll be perfectly looked after. That's the difference. On the other hand, I think men are far better drivers of cars than women, because men concentrate on their driving and they do much better. This is the difference between nature, man and a woman. And it's all to do with the difference between the number three and the number four. So the number four represents Shlemus. Pesach is a time of Shlemus. Pesach is therefore connected with the Mishpeh and the Mishkan, which is also the union of Shlemus. And that's why Chazal decided to make Arba Parshas, to get the message across. You want to go into Pesach, you go in through the Arba Parshas, like we said, progression from using your money correctly, using your body correctly to do mitzvahs and to do the right sort of thing and to act properly. And then you've got to have your mind set onto Parshas Porah and to Torah and the right things. And then finally you can come to Hischachus. Then we can renew ourselves and we can go into Chodesh Nissan ready to do the job properly. And that job entails being perfect in the idea of using the message of the number four.
When you're looking for two zubas, two pairs,
well, it could be a four. It's two squared. I'm sure that's connected, because all the numbers which are represented by a combination of other numbers. Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot to that. Let me just finish off here. Now, I've also said that this Hischadshus will come in the month of Nisan, and HaChodesh Hazeh relates to the moon. It represents the moon. We follow the moon, not the sun. As the Mefarshim speak about this, Abshim Shavahar talks about this in the Parsha of HaChodesh Elohim. There's a beautiful shir given by Rabbi Miller Zichron Levrocha, which I now understand is published in Sabbath Shurim, but I heard it from my daughter, B'Shem Rabbi Miller. And he said, and what he basically is saying is that we count to the moon, not to the sun. The pasuk which is quoted is Ani Yeshena V'Libi Er. Ani Yeshena is I'm asleep. 365 is Yeshena Gematria, which represents the solar calendar. Nothing changes. Every day is the same. Therefore, that's for the goyim. They don't move up in life. But we here have got to be like the Levona. We've got to reach heights. That's all we've got to. Even if we drop, we've got to catch up again. And the Medrash in Parshas Bo, I've got the reference here for you, says very clearly that we are compared to the moon. Just as the moon started from a tiny little bit and reached a crescendo after 15 doiras, what happened from Avraham Avinu until Shlomo HaMelech is exactly 15 doiras. Avraham recognized Hashem from the embryonic beginning. We have the Beis HaMikdash built in the 15th generation. That's like the center of the month. And then from there, there's a downward, unfortunately, a downward spiral to the time of Tzidkiyahu. 15 generations later, disaster struck. Basically, just destroyed. We are the same. We have to try to raise our level of Yiddishkeit and mitzvahs and Torah to the zenith. Unfortunately, we backslide. Unfortunately, this is what happens in history, and we go down again. But we don't give up. We start again and try to get to the top. The top is 15, and that explains why this number 15 is the most happy number. That explains why in most months, the 15th of the month is a point of great joy. It's also where the werewolf stories came from, because I'm sure the legend of the Goyim is based on the Torah, but they've warped it. They've decided to make their own Mishigas. But the 15th of the month was when the moon was full and everything was beautiful. It happened also in Egypt with Pesach, the cloven Pesach. That was the Pesach is the antidote to the non-Jewish attitude. That's what the 15th represents. Now, if you look at Rabbeinu Bachya, in the introduction to Parshas Truma, Pasuk Vav, he gives a list of numbers where 15 is represented as being a wonderful time of joy. A lot of examples. He says in Yishtabach we say we're 15 praises. We say the Shir Shvacha. He says we know the Vavs which come after V'yatsiv V'nochem V'kayim V'yosh. There's a whole story about that, how they came about. That's also 15. But the point that I need to make is that you do find this 15 on Pesach too. You find it in two major places. One place is in Dayenu. Dayenu is we're giving thanks to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. There are exactly 15 Dayenus. And if you look at the Simon, which we all say on Pesach, Kadesh, Urchas, Tarpas, Yakas, you'll find there are 15 items. This didn't happen by accident. The 15 items of the Kadesh, Urchas, and the 15 Dayenus are to give this flavor of the happiness and the joy and the reaching the zenith. And this is what Parshas Achodesh is all about. We are now ready, having gone through the other parshas, we should be ready to be mischadesh. Finally, the final point, which I'll do very, very, very quickly, is there's a famous story of Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. It's in the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Mem Zayin on the base. It's also in Koheles Rabbah. I've given you the references. It's Eliyakut Shimoni. Different versions, but in very, very brief. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch went away from the town of where all the Talmidim were. He thought they would come after him. They didn't. He was on his own for a while. As a result of being on his own and not having his Talmidim around, he lost his memory, he lost his Torah. To the extent that he was then called up on Parshas HaChodesh, he was called up at the Torah, to lay in the Torah, and instead of saying HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem, he said, HaChoresh Hoya Libom. The Maharam in Prague says it's impossible that say that Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch could have forgotten his whole Torah. Impossible. It's such a great man, the greatest of all people. He mentioned Pirkei Avos as being a minor miskaber. How is it possible, he says. So he says, it doesn't mean he actually lost his memory as such, he lost his kachid, whatever it is. Then the Mephoshim give Ramazim, however, from that beautiful story of Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, who then got it all back by doing teshuva, and they prayed for him, and he realized that he mended the error of his ways, and you've got to have Talmidim, you've got to be, you can't be a person on your own. The Mephoshim explain the difference between the Achoydesh Hazel Lochem, which is the middle letters Dalad, Zayin, and Chof, which is 31, and what it should have been, which is, sorry, and what he mixed it up with, which was Hachresh, was a Resh in the middle, if he changed it out for a Resh, Hachresh Hoyai, put a Yud there and base, so he changed it to Resh Yud base. Very, very briefly, Resh Yud base could stand for Rebbe, and if you take away the 31 from the 212, this is where I need your calculators again, you'll get the number 181. 181 means psula. According to Ben Yoyada, he became a Rebbe psula. That's why he was not a good Rebbe, because he should have had his Talmidim with him. If he loved his Talmidim enough, he would have stayed with him, not expecting them to come to him. That's one pshat. And the other pshat is, you take the 31 from the 212, it's of Riv. If he, in other words, he made a bit of a quarrel by doing what he did. That gives you 181. 181 is Kapo Kuf Pei Aleph. Kuf Pei Aleph stands for a freezer, a makpi, solidity. In other words, instead of being a mayon who was mechadish, he'd ended up by losing out. He became a kapo. That means he became a solid, unmovable object. What's the answer? Interesting, yeah, the old one. It's very simple. The answer to kapo is turn the word round. Then you get afek. Afek is afikim banegev. Afikim banegev is like a mayon again. So what he had to do is reverse the trend, and then he got the chid. But the point I'm trying to make from all this is, you've got to be mechadish and mayon and miskaber, and from this is what Parshas Chodesh is teaching us in the lead into Pesach, so we can get Yeshua.